We drove from St. Cloud, not the clouds there, St. Cloud, and then we got here maybe 3:30, and I called Pastor. Pastor, we're here in the parking lot. And yeah, how are you, brother? He said. And I know how Americans answered that question, right? Good. yeah, we do that too in the Philippines. We say only in Tagalog word, mabuti or muy bien in Spanish. But anyway, but honestly, I told the pastor, but a little bit tired. And she called for Sister Judy. And yes, thank you for that nice apartment or prophet's chamber. Very excellent. And my tiredness is gone. Amen? Are you tired tonight? The Lord said, come unto me. Amen? All ye that labor, and I shall give you rest. And so let's go to him, to in his word right now. And before that, by the way, yeah, you may turn your Bible to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. It's going to take a while. But while we were there at the apartment, I saw the sign outside, and it says, the man who raised the Savior, or? Yes, the man who was entrusted with raising the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know it's Joseph. Joseph. He was not a David, you know, facing a Goliath. He was not a Gideon, right? He was not a Peter or Paul. But and yeah, we only find a few verses in the Bible where his name or his what he's done is recorded. Oh, how he raised the Lord, right? And but we find in Matthew chapter 1 that before he before he married Mary, he was afraid, right? Because she's still a virgin, and here she was. And I praise the Lord that Joseph did not give up. He was feeling helpless, but tonight, revival. He was revived. How was he revived? May I just say a little about his revival? God's word came to him. An angel, Gabriel, I believe it was, came to him, and he said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, thy wife, take unto thee Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 23, the angel quoted Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. And so that was God's word. That was Old Testament prophecy. Joseph was revived. He was encouraged. He was energized to go on, empowered to endure all the trials and hardships of raising up a baby, the Lord, who is number one target of Satan. Amen? But praise the Lord for Joseph. But tonight, yes, we'll also touch on revival. Matthew chapter 3. If you could stand up, please stand up with me as we read chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received his strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and praising, or leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you and help me now, please, dear God. May you be lifted up, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may you empower me with your Holy Spirit and help us, O Lord, to understand your will as we feast on your word. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Revival. There was a revival among the early believers. 120 believers, disciples, gathered in the upper room. We find that, we read that in Acts chapter 1. It all happened after resurrection. May I say that before resurrection, most of them were afraid. Most of them didn't know what to do. But then the Lord showed himself alive, and even his siblings, we read also, they also, James especially, they got saved. And so I remember also 2011 or 2012 when we were here, I think I preached on a message that was entitled, "What's Up on Calvary?" Not here, Calvary. yeah, there was chaos back then, right? A lot of people of different opinions, of different feelings, of different interests gathered that a fateful day. There was chaos there. And I still remember pointing out also, but there was also, condemnation. The Lord was condemned to death. And he was condemned not for his sin. He didn't have one, amen? But for our sin. There was condemnation there. And I pointed out also, I still remember, but there was conversion. There was a conversion. Right up there on Calvary, one of the thieves got saved. And so praise the Lord that anywhere or anytime God's will shall be done. Sometimes we don't want to do his will, but what he had purposed and ordained, it still happens. And so today, may I say my word of appreciation for what is going on now here in Calvary. I can see and I can read what's going on from the internet, amen? So be careful what you write there on the internet. And so praise the Lord. There is revival. And this is all what we want to see, revival. I'm not a revivalist, by the way, and I don't have a formula for that. All I know is what the Bible says. Say, for example, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them and heal their land." That's all I know. Amen. So I'm not a smart guy, you know. I don't. But I want to highlight this evening what happens after a revival. That I can tell you, especially here in Acts, the book of Acts. There was, after they got revived, they became consistent in their commitment. Peter, especially, who was, you know, up and down, bold and rash to say things, but would not follow up with this, with actions. Oh, after resurrection, he was a different man. We can find some consistency now in the life of this apostle. And also John, and also the Apostle John. And so what I want to say, they were not really consistent before, but now, it says in verse 1, at the right time, hour of prayer, right? They went to the temple, right place. Amen? What did they want to do? To pray. And so isn't that consistency there? The Lord had gone up to heaven. Pentecost is already done. In chapter 2, 3,000 souls were added to the church. And as a matter of fact, the last verse there in chapter 2 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so with that scenario, if I were Peter, maybe, oh, praise the Lord, maybe now I can relax. But he did that. He was not complacent. At the right hour, they went to the right place to do the right thing once again. And look what happened. After they saw the man, the lame man, and after he got healed, was able to stand up, walk, leap even, what did Peter do? He preached once again to them, to those multitude who gathered, who were marveling because of the miracle. And after preaching, we find in chapter 4, as a result of that preaching, as a result of that miracle, 5,000 men were saved once again. And so had he been complacent, had he relaxed, I don't think that could have happened. And so what I would like to say, Peter, after resurrection, was revived. Not only he, but his companions there, the early believers that started with 120, oh boy, thousands. They number now by the thousands. It's we don't see that much happening today, right? Because, I don't know. I don't have all the answers once again, okay? I don't know why it's not happening today. But this I know, God is glorifying his son during those days. That's what Peter said. Why marvel ye at this miracle? Or why look ye on us as if by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son. Prophecies were being fulfilled. Not only there on Calvary, all the prophecies about our suffering Savior, Isaiah 53, all those rejected but resurrected, amen, and will soon return again. These miracles also are prophesied. Peter was telling them that. As a matter of fact, also in Isaiah, I forgot the number, a lame man would be healed, the blind will see, and the deaf can hear. And it all happened in the book of Acts, especially if you will, we will continue reading, but we don't have much time there. People gathered even the, what do you call, handkerchief of Peter. Many were being healed. And as a matter of fact, and as a result of that, I mean, people are also spiritually healed. And this is my second point. They became consistent, and also they became servants of the Lord, just like us, amen, whose lives became a good testimony. What I'm trying to say is they became Christ-centered in their walk and in their words. That is what Peter did, especially. I'm always saying Peter because he's the leader of the gang, okay? He lifted up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time there would be a miracle, he would lift up and tell them who Jesus Christ is. He kind of rebuked them even when he said, the stone which ye builders set at naught is become the cornerstone. He also told them, ye desired a murderer to be granted unto you. When Pilate was already determined to let him go, no, you delivered him up for Pilate to give him a sentence of death. And so this was how Peter was. His words, he would always tell them who Jesus Christ is. As a matter of fact, he got detained for a night, and the following day, they faced the elders of Israel, and they were forbidden to preach in Jesus' name. But what did he and his brethren do? They continued to preach the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot help it, he said. But to speak the things, those things which we have heard and seen, we ought to obey God rather than man. And you know what? They were beaten. But what do we find in the still in chapter 5? They rejoiced in spite of the physical pain. They rejoiced and thanked God because they considered themselves, it says there, for being counted worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. They became changed men, not only from being fishermen to fishers of men, but from being men of failures and faults, to men of faith and faithfulness. They were a changed breed after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say it, God is the author of revival. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's why we need to be consistently also reading, studying the Bible. Amen? Growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it can help us to be consistent, obedient, and as a result, our words and our walk will be Christ-centered and Christ-magnifying. In whatsoever we'll do, we will, whatsoever things we do, right? Whether we eat or drink, we shall be able to give back the glory to God. Amen. We cannot stay or we cannot endure, we cannot stay for long in the ministry. Everybody, by the way, Pastor and I are not the only ministers. Every one of us are ministers. Amen? And so we cannot remain serving the Lord without God's word, without the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, but on our part, without us obeying what's written here, right? That's why when I became a Christian, I learned this. Grow. Go to church. Amen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Go to church. Let us be consistent there. Read our Bible. Amen? Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth of the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law that he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Amen? Amen? And so we need God's word. Peter, as a matter of fact, the Lord instructed Peter. Peter, when you are converted, right? He said that, the Lord. Oh, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat, right? But he added, but when you are converted, God knew, the Lord Jesus Christ knew, right? That he's going to repent, that he will be tempted by Satan, that he will deny him three times, but then the Lord knew also that he's going to repent, and he did repent, amen? And so when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so that's what exactly Peter wrote to 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Read those epistles and you'll find how Peter always would tell us to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge patience, temperance, and all those, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren or are fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And these things, he said, you knew, and I will not be negligent to put these things in for you to remember. Something like that, amen? I'm paraphrasing now. And so, yes, that's what exactly Peter did. He became consistent, and his life reflected a Christ-centered life. Amen. And here's my third point, and will be the last. Revival, when we are revived, we will become compassionate. Compassionate. John, was he compassionate when he said, Lord, those people are crazy. They rejected you, those Samaritans. Well, should we pray and ask the heavens to rain fire on them? Is that compassion? But here, they stopped. Peter and John stopped. When they saw the poor, lame man. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. We cannot always help so many people, but we definitely have something to give to them. In the Philippines, a lot of beggars. In the streets, the government would try not make it legal, yeah? Beggars begging, but it's just a suggestion, okay? The law in the Philippines is just a suggestion. Don't laugh now, okay? And so I would give to beggars maybe a peso or two, but I would always tell, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? If not, please read this tract, or I want you to know that Jesus Christ died at the cross. We can be sure of heaven. And so, yes, I find it, that peso will not last too long, right? But it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. They really need. And so compassion. The Good Samaritan, he also stopped. In Luke chapter 10, he stopped when he saw the wounded victim. He stopped. Chapter 10 tells us because he was, he had compassion. Because he had compassion on the wounded man. We cannot last long in the ministry if we don't have compassion. And may I point out that compassion must be genuine compassion. And where can we find genuine compassion but from God? We cannot fake it, amen? We may feel it sometimes. We were made emotional people, men, women, right? But the true compassion that will last long it can only come from God. We cannot do anything without compassion, without charity. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing, Paul said. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned in service and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. And so charity, compassion, they go alongside. We need that. When there is revival, we can see compassion in Christians. When a Christian is revived, Peter and the rest of them, they became compassionate. May I say that as a closing statement here, we have only one life. And as the song goes, you know that song, only one life, so soon it will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. We need to be redeeming the time, and though we have afflictions here on earth, they cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And this is just one way of saying, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for saving me. Let us aspire that the Lord would do revival, continue to do revival in our hearts. And may he be glorified. And so shall we pray. Thank you, dear.